At the height of American regional television from the 60s to the 80s, many local channels had their own wonderfully unique Christian puppet shows featuring female comedians. Many women developed ventriloquist dummy acts as a way to express themselves in religions that didn't allow them to become preachers. And of course, these demented puppets absolutely loved Christmas.
Today we continue our annual holiday series, Incredibly Strange Christmas Music, Volume 4, a collection of rare, twisted holiday songs that will punch up your eggnog and set your Yule log on fire.
Join us as we take a listen at music created by Christian dummies. Little Marcy, Little Cindy, Geraldine and Ricky, and of course, Rick Perry's gay holiday remix.
Plus, 8-bit Christmas music and Lee Abramson, a musician living with Lou Gehrig's disease who sings using Model Talker, the same computerized speech computer that physicist Stephen Hawking uses.
A salute to raunchy satirists, including Bob Rivers and Jackie Beat.
Faye McKay and the 24-hour cabarets of Las Vegas.
A gay-sounding singer in the United States Army Field Band and Soldier Chorus deconstructs the 12 days after Christmas, years before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed.
And Candy Kane helps us put the X back in Xmas.
Remember, all this music is available through the links on our site, Feast of Fun. Support independent music. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Hey everybody, it's me, Little Fausto. Merry Christmas! Hi, I'm so glad you could join us on today's podcast for Jesus Loving Jesus. Let's sit down here by the Christmas tree and over here by the fireplace and think about Jesus and how wonderful he is and all the wonderful things that Jesus, I'm here joined by my friend, Little Mark.
Don't forget to talk about Jesus, Fausto.
Jesus was born around this time of year, and it's soon going to be his birthday. I hope that you guys got Jesus a nice present, like lots of money for your church. Because we're damn broke. What if Feast of Fun in an alternate universe was one of those strange Christian puppet shows that were run by women, frustrated housewives in the Southwest and Southeast of the United States? The
what
Bible
would it
belt.
Be like if we were little kids on television going, I love Jesus. Let's sing songs about Jesus.
Well, interesting enough, actually, there has been and continues to be a lot of Christian puppeteering acts. And puppeteering, although we know puppeteering is sort of like the bread and butter of Jim Henson and alternative art, there's equally a strong force of Christian missionaries who want to spread the gospel using these, you know, nowadays they're very kind of cheap and, you know, mass produced puppets. But back in the day in the 60s and 70s, these were like arts and crafts people who were creating these really crude puppets and touring the country and developing careers for themselves, like Little Marcy, Little Geraldine and Ricky, who's still doing stuff to this day, and of course Little Cindy, who was featured in John Waters' Christmas album.
Well, I think too, like women, it was kind of like a choice for a lot of women to do that kind of stuff because, you know, maybe their husband was the preacher, and so they were kind of used to using puppets because they were probably running the Christian day school. And how do you get kids interested in God? Well, with puppets, of course.
With magical puppets with southern drawls who love to talk about the way Christ was killed on the cross and his blood dripped down and washed all of humanity's sins away, even the gay ones who love the anal sex. Yes, indeed.
They did get kind of dark. What was it? Little Marcy had a little a song called Choo 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 on the Glory Train.
And that Join the Gospel Express. And that Come was along, like, answer yes. It's leaving for glory soon. And so this is a little demented voice of a woman named Marcy Tigner, who went under the name Little Marcy, and she was from Wichita, Kansas, and she was a frustrated musician who moved to Portland, Oregon, and there she got involved in her church while she was developing a music degree at the University of Oregon, and she was determined to sing gospel and went through many voice teachers and managements and different churches and stuff. And finally her husband said, you know, instead of trying to, like, you know, hide the fact that you have a demented, demonic, childlike voice, make that your asset.
And he really said that to her?
Well, he said that she should try to exploit rather than try to improve her childlike voice.
So that's her natural singing voice?
That's what Marcy Tigner sounds like most of the time. Actually, my violin teacher when I was a kid, Susan Ashby, had that sort of little girl voice too, you know? And so some women just in this world just speak with a crazy high, crazy voice. Like, I sometimes sound a little
but
bit crazy.
But that Glory Express thing, that was about like the end of days. That was like about Armageddon and everybody's dead, so you better be on this train or else you're going to be left behind.
And, you know, and if you really examine most Christian mythology and even Christmas itself, there's a lot of darkness in these religions and in these holidays. So she came out with this album, and which was a hit. And she actually got Miss America 1965 Vonda Van Dyke to promote her Kitty Ventriloquism Act. And so she went on a lot of different radio programs and even at the height of her career did a TV commercial with Smokey the Bear.
With Little Marcy?
Little Marcy Tigner, yes. Mm. So we dedicate the show to Little Marcy, Little Cindy, and Geraldine and Ricky, and all these other frustrated musicians and artists, actually all over the world, who one way or another, they find their voice through a puppet and get themselves expressed.
Because there was like a circuit long before there was YouTube or even cable television or cable access. Every area had like their regional programming. So, you know, they'd have like morning shows or they'd have stuff on Sundays. And so, you know, there was people trying to fill those slots. And these women just kind of, that's why their work, a lot of it's preserved today, is because they were on these TV shows.
It's preserved today, but in, you know, a lot of the programming that was done in regional television actually came from radio, regional radio as well. So, you know, people like Little Marcy Tigner, she kind of went both on the radio and she actually put out a lot of work. Other artists like Little Cindy and Geraldine and Ricky. Geraldine and Ricky only came out with one album, but everybody's blogged about it. You've seen all those videos and we'll play you some excerpts later in the show. Since we're talking about Christian dummies, before we go into Little Marcy Tigner's music, I want to kick off the show with the man of the year, former Texas governor Rick Perry.
He's the current governor, is he not?
Is he? I
do believe he is.
He is still, yeah. I guess just in my mind, I'm thinking, he's
out of
a
job after this. That's
for president of the United States, he still have time to actually, you know, be functioning as a governor of Texas, but he is. And I thought that a lot of the attention was going to go to the craziest of all the Republican candidates, Michelle Bachmann and Marcus Bachmann. But then here came in December, Rick Perry with a strong ad, which everybody's seen, and made him the most hated man on YouTube. The most hated video created by an adult.
And so people have parried it, you know, to death. But somebody actually created a Christmas song out of his very own words.
And so this is Jake Benson, and we're going to kick this off here with Rick Perry's Gay Holiday Remix.
There's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military. And I approve this message. Gay.
Hi.
Yeah, all you have to do is just throw some jingle bells.
And there you go.
There you go.
I
have
like that
it.
Mashup between Rick Perry and Susie Snowflake. I could kind of see him actually singing that song, Susie Snowflake.
why are you saying
duet,
that?
Maybe a little duet with Marcus Bachman.
Here comes Susie Snowflake dressed in a snow white gown.
I can't believe they let Susie Snowflake work in the army. I would repeal that.
Mark, that joke just went about as good as Rick Perry's own strong head.
I know.
Like a lead balloon.
I should have prepared it. But I'm so excited about this new book that's out called Head Figure Head, The Search for the Hidden Life of Rick Perry, where they've investigated, and they've been investigating for a long time, trying to get the gay goods on Rick Perry. And most of the people are kind of like, are anonymous, but some people have come forward and said, yeah, I met him on Craigslist. We arranged a sexual meeting, and so he came in, he screwed me, and then left, and I never really saw his face, but he couldn't get out the door. This is how stupid the guy is. He couldn't get out the door. So he had to get out. This guy had to get up and let him out. And then he's just like, oh my God, I just had sex with Rick Perry.
So this male hustler or
no,
is just a guy who's
doing
hookup?
This is the guy
who
answered a Craigslist ad.
So he hooked up with a Craigslist ad for Rick Perry's ass.
Yeah.
In Texas, in Austin, Texas, I would assume, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm
in the
say
capital.
It's Austin, yeah.
And so he met up with him, did the deed, never saw his face, but when he was leaving, he couldn't get out the door, and so the guy had to let him out, and it's Rick Perry.
Now, there's another hustler named Joe. There's a hustler named Joey, and he says, the whole story is that I have an ex-friend who hired this kid years ago for sex, and they became friends. I was out at Rain, a gay club in Austin, with my friend, and we ran into the hustler kid. He very matter-of-factly stated that he had just been hired to spend the weekend at the Driscoll with Perry and an assistant of Perry's. He was nonchalant about it and said that it happened 3 or 4 times a year, and he gave some sexual details about Perry and the other guy. This was in the early 2000s, maybe 2003.
Boy, Rick Perry is a big Christian dummy.
He sure is. And he's got a little dick. That's what the guy from the Craigslist ad said. He had a really small penis. So, but I guess he never
That's why he's a bottom, I guess.
Who? I'm sorry.
Rick Perry.
No, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't explain the Craigslist ad very well. So the guy was laying down on a bed, face down, and Rick Perry came in and mounted him and fucked him.
So Rick Perry couldn't get out of the house.
Rick Perry could not get out of the house, yes.
Okay, because the way you explained it, it was the guy who had come in and fucked Rick Perry, who was face down.
Yeah, sorry about that. But also, it's like some joggers have also said that they've been hit on by Rick Perry. But one guy who is Secretary of State, Jeff Connor, was supposedly caught in bed by Rick Perry's wife with Rick Perry. And so he doesn't work for Rick Perry anymore. And so they asked him about it. He's like, I don't work for the man anymore. I'm a private individual. If you want to know anything about any incident, ask Rick Perry.
I wonder what Rick Perry is going to get for Christmas.
Maybe some gay sex. Who knows?
Hopefully. Let's listen to a little bit of Little Marcy. This is our song, Christmas, which is Christmas, and she spells it out, the true meaning of the season.
When I was much, much younger, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys that day. I learned a whole lot different when Mommy sat me down and taught me to spell Christmas this way.
For the Christ child born upon this day, H for herald angels in the night, R means our Redeemer, I means Israel, S is for the star that shone so bright, T is for three wise men, they who traveled far.
Little Marcy Tigner.
I got kind of confused towards the end. She started spelling again. And then what did she spell? She spelled like
Tismus.
Tismus?
Tismus.
System. I was
T-M-A-S.
Like,
T-M-A-S.
Tismus. I was like, what?
T is for terrific, and M is for the manger, and A is for
well,
the...
Well, I'm glad the shepherds came. So.
You know, I have to say, of all these, of this genre of sort of ventriloquist dummy Christian mm-hmm. music, Little Marcy Tigner definitely takes a cake. And there's just all sorts of stuff all over the internet. Mm-hmm. You can buy it through our links on Feast of Fun. It makes a great Christmas for some Christian person. You know, because a lot of your friends, actually, they may not be Christian, but they fetishize strange, bizarre Christian things. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely one of those things.
And you can play it at home and drive everyone crazy and be like, but it's Christian.
It's
music.
Christian, people. Little Marcy Tigner. Well, Marcy Tigner is the woman, and then her ventriloquist dummy is Little Marcy.
Little Marcy.
And they're not very creative. A lot of these people, like, there's Little Marcy and then there's a Little Cindy. We don't know hardly anything about this. And I have to blame John Waters.
Why?
Because he featured the song. He brought it out of popularity. He has the album in his house, but he provided very little liner notes for his collection of strange Christmas music. And so we don't know anything about this, but this is Happy Birthday Jesus, A Child's Prayer by Little Cindy, a different ventriloquist Christian dummy act.
It's time to pray. So she bows her little head.
Birthday, Jesus. Mama said that you was near and that you had a birthday this time every year. She told me how you listen to every word we say and that you hear us calling in the night or in the day. She explained how bad they hurt you, those awful naughty men, but said you let them do it, for girls like me would sin. She said about the manger they took and put you in. I'd let you have my blanket if I was here back then. She said that you are watching everything we do, her and Daddy and Granny and our new baby too. I like when Mama told me of how you healed the lame and that they didn't have to have any wealth or fame. She told you was so awful good, and then she made me cry. She said they nailed you to the cross. They wanted you to die. She said that you forgave them because you was dying for our sin. And then it made me happy when she said you came back again. Mama said that Christmas is what we celebrate because on that day you was born. So I hope I'm not too late to wish you happy birthday. And dear Jesus, I'll be true. 'Cause Mama said if I was good, you'd let me live with you.
Little Cindy, girl. Work it, Little Cindy. And this is this one. I'm gonna actually not play her album because Geraldine and Ricky is the last one here, mm-hmm. Because it's not Christmas themed, but definitely worth consideration. And you can find her stuff all over YouTube and the internet. But she did do a Christmas special with a TV show called A Gaither Homecoming Friends Christmas Comedy Visit.
That's a crazy title for a TV show.
And what? So she's based out of Alabama, Sterrett, Alabama. We have some listeners mm-hmm. who live in Alabama, so
we
maybe
sure do.
You'd know about Geraldine and Ricky. And she, as of this day, she's still touring and performing. She mostly does the Christian cruise ship circuit.
Really?
And she is kind of an insult comedian because Geraldine Reagan, the woman behind Geraldine and Ricky, she sits down there and she starts insulting the men. Listen
you know
to this.
What? I can do something I like.
What are you going to say?
About 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. Yeah. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouth.
Yeah.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care. Mark Lowry wore them, and they needed the air. Nativity scene, but you couldn't come up with three wise men. But I want to do something about Christmas.
What do you want to do?
Well, you play something.
You want,
and this is serious, Kate.
Okay, you want me to play something serious?
Right. Like Silent Night.
And what key you want in?
It doesn't matter. I'm not singing it, I'm sharing it.
Oh, okay. But sometimes when people share, they don't really mean that. You end up giving to them. Are you going to ask me for anything? Are you just...
Am I asking you for something?
Yeah, yeah.
No, are you giving anything away?
Shall I just play?
Yeah, you play, and Bill, I'm gonna tell you. No, play, go ahead. I gotta get in the mood. I'm not in the mood yet.
Okay.
And then she goes talking about, Jesus and Christmas.
She's on the bottle there for a little bit.
Yeah. She's on a little bit on the bottle.
Hey, wise man.
Okay, let's listen to the end of her bit.
Wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it. I just thought of it. You want me to think of something now?
You get dangerous when you think about the things over here. I feel... Yeah. Should I be talking to him? I feel dumb talking.
You feel stupid talking to a dummy?
Yeah.
I know how you feel.
Gee, I'm so glad you guys all could tune in to Feast of Fun's incredibly strange Christmas special. It's all about Jesus and little people like me, little Fausto.
Are you doing your Lady Buddy?
I know Lady Bunny kind of sounds like demented and
she
crazy.
Could be a little Marcy, little Lady Bunny.
Hi, this is Lady Bunny.
Little Lady Bunny.
But if you watch Geraldine and Ricky's act, like Geraldine can't seem to keep Ricky still, mm-hmm. and she keeps wanting to like fix his suit while he's talking, so it looks like she's molesting him.
Well, the other thing that's really creepy about these kind of puppets is puppets are kind of right up there with clowns as far as like freaking kids out and freaking people out. There's people that just absolutely hate clowns, and there's people that absolutely hate puppets, and these are the kind of puppets that creep people out.
And what better way to spread the message of the gospel than having some strange, demented ventriloquist dummy? Mm-hmm. And they're not even, universally accepted among Christian fundamentalists and Baptists. Like, some of them actually think they're actually really bad for their religion.
Oh, really? Because they're like false idols.
They're false idols.
You're going to be worshiping little Cindy instead of Jesus.
That's right. And, if I had to choose... I'd probably go to worship little Cindy before Jesus.
Who's got a better body, Jesus or little Cindy?
Who's more interesting?
Who's more buff? Who's half naked?
It's like, this is the problem with American politics and mm-hmm. celebrity. Everyone's like, chooses their celebrity by who they're most likely to have sex with. I mean, that's why George W. Bush got into office, because the alternative was Al Gore. Mm. Al Gore was sexy at one point in time, but...
Well, if I had to choose, I'd still choose Al Gore.
You would have sex with Al Gore before George W. Bush. How about the Woodrow Wilson guy in the second from Massachusetts? What was his name? I don't even remember him.
Political quiz night on Feast of Fun? Come on.
Political quiz. You cannot remember the name of the Democrat.
John Kerry. Yeah.
Mr. Ketchup.
Lurch, as they like
Lurch.
To call him. Lurch.
So, yeah. So, anyways. So, moving on, I want to draw into something actually truly inspiring. And this is the work of a young man who goes by the name Lee Abramson. And he's a musician, composer who lives with Lou Gehrig's disease. And so far as we know, he's the first person to write music using a piece of software computer program called Model Talker, which you might remember most commonly used and heard by Stephen Hawking, mm-hmm. the astrophysicist, whenever he speaks in public.
And you do a pretty good imitation of it, right?
I do a wonderful job of speaking like this.
So this is Lee Abramson's Have Your Pleth a Merry Little Xmas.
That's quite a title.
So here you go and check it out. And he's also, on his biography, he's the first person in history to sell pork rinds on the internet. I don't know what that means.
Must have auto-tuned that or something, because I wasn't really making out very many words.
Well, that's computer-generated speech.
Okay.
So, and then he's processing it. So we're not sure exactly what he's doing. It sounds like a little bit, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but it does sound like it's jerky, like someone who lives with Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm. You know, sort of like that same kind of convulsion slash movement.
I don't know if
you know?
People with Lou Gehrig's disease have convulsions like that. I think.
Well, as their bodies deteriorate, mm-hmm. you know, if they were walking with crutches, would have that sort of like.
My poor cousin died of that. It's a horrible way to go.
Well, absolutely horrible. I mean, Stephen Hawking's still here with us.
He doesn't have Lou Gehrig's disease, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had something else.
Well, that's as of writing right now. This is what I understand. Okay. Stephen. I may be wrong, but mm-hmm. that's. You know, this is a short amount of time I put into researching this. But. Wow. Next is Casio Christmas with two K's. Mm-hmm. Deck the Halls. Who is this guy?
Well, Casio, they released the, this is somebody we found on YouTube, but in 1980, Casio released the Casiotone 201, its first electronic keyboard as a compact.
The electronics company, yes, Casio, not this yes. artist.
No, not this artist.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is just somebody from YouTube. I don't have no anything.
So he
about
names
it.
Himself after the electronics mm-hmm. company that everybody used to get in the 1980s. These wonderful, you know, tiny little electronic keyboards, and they came pre-programmed with melodies, and then 8-bit musicians.
I bet they created the first. That was their claim.
That was the first
electronic keyboard. Yes.
I used to play with that all the time. I loved that little electronic mm-hmm. keyboard. I used to have the built-in memory memorized. Mm-hmm. I can sing it to you right now.
Okay, let's hear it. Down, 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 down.
So everybody who owned a Casio is going, oh my God, that takes me so back.
Didn't they have a little switch where you could put it like to like the mambo or something like that? Or the
Yeah, you could do different versions of that song mm-hmm. with a bossa nova beat. And that's mm-hmm. the first time I even heard of the bossa nova. It was like, what is this bossa nova switch?
Wow.
So this is Casio Christmas, a guy who names himself after the fabulous electronic instrument. And this is a song, Deck the Halls. We'll be right back. So a lot of the music that we feature on today's show, we actually have asked from our listeners to recommend stuff. And we've just Googled and searched and read hundreds and hundreds of blogs to find some of these rare goodies. But one music that I really want to salute and draw a lot of attention is to the work of a disc jockey and radio personality Bob Rivers, who people who listen to him in Seattle and the Northwest markets. He's very popular, well-known radio announcer. He's kind of like, you know, sort of the... He's not more of a man cow. He's the podcaster who's based out of Chicago.
Like Steve Dahl, kind of.
Steve Dahl, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like a beloved, warm, cuddly comedy guy.
And his music gets everywhere. It's like before the internet, people, you would hear some of these songs. And also, too, like, wasn't it like a lot of things weren't even really, they were credited to him, but you're like, did he do it or did he not do it?
They are credited. Some things are credited to him. Some things he actually just made and put in bootleg albums. He actually released several bootleg albums in the late 80s. And some of these actually made them ways through AOL chat rooms and boards. Mm-hmm. And so those of you who have had AOL accounts from way back then might remember this gem walking around in women's underwear that was widely posted back in 1992, 93 on AOL. By Bob Rivers.
Basic things, the wife is missing. Didn't ask for her permission. I'm wearing her clothes, her silk pantyhose. Walking around in women's underwear. In the store, there's a teddy. Straps like spaghetti. It holds me so tight, like handcuffs at night. Walking around in women's underwear.
In the office there's a guy named Melvin. He pretends that I am Murphy Brown.
He'll say, are you ready? We'll say, whoa man. Let's wait until the wife is out of town.
Bob Rivers walking around in women's underwear. I assume that he did some research for that song.
That sure was the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, Madonna, Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown sort of became famous because Vice President Dan Quayle made that comment about Murphy Brown, sort of the deterioration of America.
Because she got pregnant and she wasn't getting married.
Yeah, she was a single mom getting mm-hmm. pregnant on the show, and that was like a big deal. And that's.
But I mean, the show was on for like a long time before then too. And mm-hmm. she got pregnant in real life, so she's like, "What are we gonna do?"
Why and that's not? Actually happened a lot since on a lot of TV shows. Just if the actor gets pregnant, they sort of work in the pregnancy into the plot line.
Yeah, or sometimes they hide it, and so you'll be like, "Oh, they carry big briefcases, and they're behind it. They're sitting on the desk. You know, they're doing all sorts of things other than showing their large belly."
Now, this next song is attributed to Bob Rivers. This is Frosty the Pervert. And I don't think it aired on the radio, but it's certainly worth listening to right now.
Frosty the Pervert, in a trench coat he did go to the schoolyard to expose his dick and balls made out of snow. There must have been some magic when he Frosty started moaning loud, and it began to sleet. Frosty the Puppet was as glad as he could get. He threw away his corncob pipe and lit a cigarette. His trail down to the village, his stick melting in his hand, running here and there all around the square, yelling, "Catch me if you can." They chased him down the streets of town, right to a vice squad cop, who shoved a nightstick up his ass, and Frosty screamed,
"Don't stop, ooh!"
The Puppet was locked up that very day, but he did not cry as he waved goodbye, knowing he'd be back someday. Beating his meat all over the streets, look at Frosty go. Sliding his hands all over his glands, his cum is white as snow.
Merry Christmas.
The thing about Frosty is, like, he might melt, but he'll be back next year.
Yeah, to
beat
flash
his
you.
Meat.
Beat his. I was like, does a snowman really have any meat?
Well, it was more like his snow meat.
His icicle would have been funnier.
Yeah,
or more accurate.
Maybe the other thing though too is like all that. If he's truly masturbating, all that friction would probably melt it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Never thought about that.
So it'd be like, shh, it'd be gone. And what is snowman come like anyway? Just water, right?
It would be just water. That's right.
What else could it be?
What's the big deal with snow?
What's the big deal?
Let Frosty have his fun. So, you know, why are we so attracted to all this satirical Christmas music? And one of the most wonderful satirists is, of course, Jackie Beat, who you've heard on the show before, and she's released two albums, Jackie Beat Is the Holiday Ho, and Jackie Beat's Christmas Classics, I believe, is the second album. And they're both available through our website, Feast of Fun, in the show notes. And I just, you know, I think she is one of the best people that I know of that can take existing song lyrics and make them sound hilariously twisted.
She is the queen of the shoehorn. She can take Eddie and be like, "I'm gonna stick this in this song, whether it kills me."
But if it's worth it, if it's funny, because a lot of people,
if it's funny,
when you're trying to do this kind of stuff, it's really hard, actually.
It is,
you know. And Jackie, you know, has built a career just by doing dirty song parodies.
She's good with the beats.
That's her name, Jackie Beat. Yeah. And so, a lot of gay people might be familiar with her because she does the gay cruise ship circuit, unlike. Geraldine and Ricky, who do the Christian cruise ship.
Well, and certainly our listeners would know her because she's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, but I mean, the vast majority of her following is not anybody who knows her from live performances in their hometown, but her for performances in the high seas.
Ooh.
And so on these gay cruise ships, they're kind of like, they bond with her and they follow her wherever she tours. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because, you know, we started observing this, that there's all these like national acts that sort of cultivated their following based on their work or performances on gay cruise ships. And so Jackie Beat is one of them. This is a two songs, or actually it's an introduction, and then her Holiday Ho medley from Jackie Beat Is the Holiday Ho.
It's funny. You want to know why it's funny? Because sometimes people like to know why it's funny. Because they're holiday songs, but I made them negative. They're upbeat, light-hearted, whimsical tunes, but I'm doing songs about things that are terrible. Just terrible. I want you to know that most performers would be satisfied. They would say, "Hey, that's enough nasty stuff for one show. Pull back a little, lady." Not me. Oh, no. No, no, no. Mm-mm. No. I'm rarely satisfied, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a holiday medley right here that features one, two, three, four, five songs. Six! It features seven songs. Ladies and gentlemen, lucky seven, lucky you. And I don't think it's any coincidence that seven is the number of times that Mr. Lance Armstrong has won the Tour de France. And let me explain why. Nobody thought he could do it. He didn't even think he could do it. And I never thought I could stoop to this level. This is filth, unadulterated holiday filth, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you understand? I'm scraping the bottom of the holiday song parody barrel. But it seems to be what my fans want. And that's my new rule. Give them what they want. I'm a whore at Christmas. You can come on me. If you bring coke or crack to smoke, I'll even drink your pee. Christmas Eve will find me high on booze and pills, turning tricks on Christmas so I can pay my bills and get a few cheap thrills. Shh, it's a medley. Lick your balls for just $1 in a wig and a dog collar. You can eat me, you can lay me. You'll get cut if you don't pay me. Yes, you gotta fucking pay me, 'cause I am. Said this white girl to the big black man, screw me here in my rear, put it in my back door, big black man, screw me here in my rear. A whore, a whore, I'll do what you ask, even put that in my ass, but please wash it first, I've got class. My ass has class. Remember this one? Upon my face last year, surprisingly, I was all smiles, 'cause it made my fine wrinkles disappear, and now I attract pedophiles. More money for me. I do not kiss my Johns on the lips, so please stop trying to kiss me. Feel free to take a shit on my tits. You can puke on me and double fist me. Hey, hey, do not kiss this place. I may deep throat your tool, but this whore's got one rule. Shoot your semen out over my face, but kiss it. shoot your wad. My jaw is sore and my hand is tired, for the love of God, please shoot your wad. Please shoot your wad. I'll say it in Mexican, por favor, shooto el spermo de rot. I think some of the ladies here know what I'm talking about with this one. Come, he told me, but I cannot come. I screw for drugs and cash, I don't do it for fun. He's got a tiny dick as big as my thumb. That fat slob makes me sick, so I cannot come. Shut him up, I pretend to come. God, is he dumb? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to my show. And I just want to let you know that, like the whore in this song that faked an orgasm to make her client, her trick, her John happy, I have been pretending to have fun all night. That's right. Come on, face the facts. Get it straight. We are not friends. We don't even fucking know each other, you weirdos. This is my job. I do it for the money. I've been faking it. And on that note, happy holidays, ladies and gentlemen.
Awkward applause. We actually were in an audience when she did that bit, mm-hmm. and she ends her show telling the audience, we're not friends, I'm just a whore, I'm here charging you money, this is a professional relationship, and the audience really didn't like it. They were just kind of like,
I thought we were best of buddies.
Yeah, I thought you liked me, and that's why you were singing to me, and just the money was just a way for me to say thank you. So yeah, the audience was a little bit shocked.
Yeah, after all the abortion jokes and the STD jokes, that was shocking.
Yeah, yes, I started AIDS down in Africa. That was the funniest one, though.
Oh, people died.
I mean, it was just so
millions
funny.
Millions actually did die.
Millions did die, but the audience also died from laughter. Mm. And that's why I thought, of all the things that she could have said that was the most shocking, telling the audience that I'm not your friend, to stop bugging me, buy my album, or leave me alone. That was the most shocking thing she
could
have
said. She got to the point. She was like, it's Christmas, buy this stuff, bitch.
And she's a hoe. So here you go. The next cup is another act of those gay carnival cruise ships. Gay cruise ships, both Carnival, the brand, and other brands. And they're also well known in Provincetown as well, but they got their start around the same time as Margaret's show in San Francisco, and that is the Kinsey Six, mm-hmm. which is a group, what originally was a group of five friends who got dressed up in drag to go see Bette Midler.
Man, they are some old school gays.
They sure are.
Dressed up in drag to go see Bette Midler.
And they thought everybody would be in drag.
And they were actually, it turned out to be the only people in drag.
The only people in drag. And there was this woman there who said, oh, I'm turning 50 next month. You must perform at my birthday party. Don't you guys have a musical act? And they're like, we don't know. So they turned to each other and they said, can you sing? And they're like, oh, we all have backgrounds in mm-hmm. musical theater because we're gay. And so these group of five friends got together and they became the Kinsey Six. Sadly, one of them actually passed away and is no longer with us.
And so now there's only four of them. But there were never six of them.
I know. And I was like, why are the Kinsey Six in the first place?
Well, it's six, S-I-C-K-S, but it's a play on the Kinsey scale. Whereas, like, if you're Kinsey Six, it means you're absolute homosexual.
No girl power in your mouth. Well, or
if you're, or if you're a lesbian, no penis in your mouth.
Okay, so it's somebody who has sex exclusively with people of their own gender.
Yes.
Is a Kinsey Six, S-I-X.
And so that's what they are. And they did a musical called Dragapella, and they actually own the copyright to Dragapella. So.
And they want you to know that.
Because it's in their Wikipedia.
And their bio and their Wikipedia says, we own the copyright to this.
To Dragapella, so don't try using it.
Yeah.
Or we will
the British
Dragapella. Our lawyer is on you.
Well, that happened with Tranny Shack in the UK. They got
That's still up in the air.
They got into a lawsuit. The drag queens in England and in San Francisco originated it. Hecklina, she decided to sue them because they were using the name of her club act.
Tranny Shack.
Tranny Shack without paying her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, hey, give me a cut of the money or come up with your own ideas.
Right. Well, it's technically Tranny Shack UK.
Well, I think that's pretty much, you know, swiping somebody's name. I mean, how would you like if someone said, oh, we're going to be Feast of Fun LA, you know?
Ooh.
And they're like, it could happen. And, you know, anybody know of a good copyright lawyer? So this is the Kinsey Six. This is their from their Christmas album. This is my favorite song of theirs because it's about crystal meth and the holidays.
Oh, and it's snow and snow.
And the song is Crystal Time in the City.
One, two, let's three, listen to one. It. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, Billy Holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of crystal. People dancing all night. And on every street corner, there'll be buys and sells, buys and sells. Chemical smells. It's crystal time in the city.
Functioning, diminishing.
When you do crystal each day,
boost your sex life, boost your night life till you're totally spent. Shine your shoes till it's 6 in the morning.
See a job loss, see your friends toss, see you not pay your rent. And above all, distrustful you'll be. Manic swells, go to hell,
it's crystal time in the city. We're up and down because we've got moods that swing.
They don't swing.
Arguing.
Yes,
no, they're not.
When you do crystal each day. When you do crystal each day.
Oh, little town of meth.
That is the Kinsey Six, Crystal Time in the City. What are you drinking over there, Mark?
I'm just having a little tea, a little zinger.
Your tea smells like my grandmother. Boozy.
Okay, so there might be a little bit of brandy in it.
Why do people love drinking so much during the holidays? I guess it's just to be merry, right?
Well, it's socializing. When you're around people, you socialize. And so what easier way to lubricate the social scene than with mega doses of alcohol?
Yeah, because it's hard to sometimes be around people you haven't seen in a while. And when families get together, they go back to their old bad habits. And sometimes just a little alcohol helps smooth things over.
Sip it slow and the world stays sweet.
So this song here is Whiskey Christmas. And we were turned on to it by Aaron Wells, Angela Wells' husband. And this is from a band called Darby O'Gill and the Little People. A Las Vegas folk rock band who performs, I guess, in the Las Vegas circuit a lot. And they named themselves after the Disney movie that gave Sean Connery his first start and got him cast as James Bond. The Darby O'Gill and the Little People, Whiskey Christmas.
At last, good feelings all around. You can hear sleigh bells and horses clop on the snowy winter ground.
And every year on Christmas Day, I'm in the same darn place. I'm in some shitty all-night bar and passed out on my face. It's a whiskey Christmas, the same thing every year. I'll drown myself in Jameson and seven different beers. It's a whiskey Christmas, so let's all raise a glass. And Santa Claus and Jesus Christ can kiss my Irish ass. Shoppers bustle around the town like little consumer pigs, buying violent video games for their bratty little kids. But I'm all warm and cozy with my whiskey and my brew. While I watch all this Christmas joy, I wish I was a Jew. The wreaths are hung up on the doors and the kids are in their beds, with visions of some big fat pervert dancing in their heads. And Mom and Dad sneak around downstairs to con their precious spawn, while I am throwing up my guts at a filthy truck stop, John. It's a whiskey Christmas, the same thing every year. I'll drown myself in Jameson and seven different beers. It's a whiskey Christmas, so let's all raise a glass. And Santa Claus and Jesus Christ can kiss my Irish ass. Well, I don't have a Christmas goose, Grey Goose will do just fine. And I don't have no eggnog, just some cheap gas station wine. And I don't have two turtle doves, just a bottle of Old Crow. And I don't dream of a white Christmas, just a frosty bag of blow. 2 days after Christmas, I woke up in the street, smelling like a toilet with no shoes upon my feet. My lip was fat, my eye was black, and I couldn't see too clear. This was the greatest Christmas since the one I had last year. It's a whiskey Christmas, the same thing every year. I'll drown myself in Jameson and seven different beers. It's a whiskey Christmas, so let's all raise a glass. And Santa Claus and Jesus Christ can kiss my Irish ass. Children!
Darby O'Gill, yeah, and the little people. Toy.
The kids really make that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Aaron Wells, for turning us on to that song.
That's hysterical.
Fantastic.
I wonder what kind of parents let their kids sing on that album. You know, singing Jesus and Santa Kiss My Ass.
Well, I hope he got good release forms. Yeah. Because there was a guy who actually almost went to jail. Or did he go to jail?
I wonder whatever happened to him. There's that guy who was in Michigan, and he sang a song in front of these kids, and they videotaped
it. It was a very wholesome song.
Yeah, it was a very nice song, wholesome song. And then he taped another song when the kids weren't there, but acted as though the kids were there. And it was like some kind of dirty song, and the
and
parents
he video sliced
were
it,
not
spliced
having it.
It. So he spliced it and put it up on YouTube to make it look like he's performing this dirty song in front of the kids when he never did.
And I think the parents were like, this is like kiddie porn.
So. Yeah, they sued. They threatened. I think he had to fight it in court.
I think that his friend that brought him into the school, I think he lost his job. It was just kind of like it became a nightmare for him.
So the moral of the story is if you're cussing in front of kids, putting up on the internet, get release forms.
But do you guys drink? You guys don't drink too much when you guys get together for the holidays, do you? I know your sisters like to drink, but
my sisters like to drink a lot, and 9 out of 10 times, usually a crime occurs or fights happen.
Yes.
So I've learned my lesson, and I try to avoid being in dangerous environments with my sisters and alcohol being around.
That's smart.
Because they were like, last summer, they tried to drag me into the salsa bar.
And some guy was
in Austin, Texas,
like,
and he looked at me and says, what the fuck are you looking at? And I'm like, I'm out of here. And you know, their reaction was not like, good for you for, you know,
Leaving the situation.
No, they were like, you abandoned me. You hurt me. How dare me, you know.
Make sure you bring that up this holiday season. It's always important around the holidays to reopen old wounds and make everyone
I don't
suffer
do that.
Again.
No, I just say, if we're going to be drinking, I just don't want to be in, I want to be feeling like I'm in a safe environment. And that's the moral of the story for you guys. Drink at home. or if you're going to be out about, take a cab, or if you're going to be drinking in a place with family members who get very fighty when they're drunk, make sure that it's not in a tough looking bar with some questionable people around.
Yeah, be careful. I'm lucky, like my sisters are kind of getting, or my brothers and sisters are getting a little older, so they can't, they can't hold their liquor like they used to. So I don't think they drink as much.
Was it the last time that we saw your brother or the time before that? He was so drunk, he slept in the back seat of the car.
Oh, it was probably the time before that.
He's not doing that these days, is he?
I don't know if he's sleeping in the back of cars anymore, but...
But he's been, like, working out, and he's, like, got six-pack abs now.
He sure does.
You go, girl. I mean, Marty, or... I think that's fantastic, though, you know? It's like, you know, hey...
And the whole family will be there this holiday, so I get to see all my family, all my sisters, all my brothers, and their significant others.
You're going to be in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I will be in Erie from Thursday till Monday.
And I'm going to be in Austin, Texas from Thursday till Monday as well.
We're having Christmas apart this year. Normally, we try and spend it together, but Foster's mom was sick this year, and then my mother's getting older, so we're just like, let's just make a quick trip home to
and
our respective
And it's nice vacation.
Homes.
Away from ourselves too, I think, in a way, but it's also not very romantic.
I'll miss you on Christmas.
Me too. I'll be calling you.
I'm and sure you like will.
A, yes. Yep. And you'd be. Do you guys sing Christmas carols? You know, I've never.
Not at all. Never.
To this day, I mean, I'm from Puerto Rico, and I've seen parrandas, which is, you know, the Puerto Rican equivalent of Christmas caroling. But I've never seen Americans in real life. Go door to door singing Christmas
carols.
We used
to when we were children. We would do it every year as children. We would get together with our neighbors and the neighbors across the street. And so there was three large Catholic families and we would go around the neighborhood Christmas caroling. And we did that a few times growing up.
I was walking home from the gym 3 days ago. And in front of the bank, where I go to the bank here in Chicago, in Andersonville, there was a group of people Christmas caroling.
Oh, really?
And everybody was staring at them like they had lost their minds.
Well, they were just standing there singing?
In the freezing cold, and they were just like saying, God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. And there was a gay man, a gay couple in the group, and you could tell that two of the couple was hating every single moment.
He's like, why am I here? I'm so embarrassed.
I'm breaking up with you right now because you made me sing in the ice cold, God rest you merry gentlemen. Fuck you. I'm dumping your ass this
Christmas. I remember being like drunk and like leaving bars like in college or in my youth and singing Christmas carols on your way home, that kind of stuff.
Well, with your friends and stuff. Yeah. But this was formal. This was like they had parts. It was like choral. And it actually was really beautiful. But I wanted to pull out my cell phone and take a picture of this guy because he looks so fucking miserable.
Maybe he was.
I'm sure he was. He was like nodding his head like, you know, with every note, like, God rest you merry gentlemen.
Some people are just sticks in the mud and they're never going to have fun with anything.
Well, and, you know, sometimes singing carols in cold weather can be an unpleasant experience.
Then don't sign up for it.
I think he was dragged into it. So you're on the side that you... What's your final verdict on the miserable carolist?
Listen, I wasn't there. I can't speak to it. But from what you say, is like he looks like he wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah, and my heart went out to you, brother. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know...
Maybe he recognized you. He's like, oh, this bitch is going to talk about me on his show.
No, I was like... I was just kind of spying on them. I really wanted to pull out my camera and take a picture of
him. I don't know why you didn't. If they're out on the street.
Well, it was dark at night, and I had only my cell phone, and I didn't want to, like, bug them, too. They seemed like they were struggling, and it was, like, raining and snowy, and it was pretty hard.
I wonder what Las Vegas is like at Christmas time. Do you think it's nice there?
I bet the weather's much better there. I mean, in Austin, Texas, it's going to be in the 70s this week.
Oh, that's nice. Especially like when you think about the movie Showgirls, is actually I like to consider it a Christmas movie because Christmas does happen during the filming of Showgirls. That's when she actually gets hired at the Stardust to dance. Is it Christmas time?
Well, the movie Showgirls actually starts during Halloween.
Oh yeah.
And it goes into Thanksgiving, and there's, you know, it's not a very overt thing about the plot, but they just have little props, or they have kids trick-or-treating to show that it's Halloween, and then they show, you know, a little turkey in the background, and then they have Christmas decorations when she goes, deceased? Deceased? Are your parents?
Places. Out Place? East.
Yeah, out east.
New
okay.
York? The city? Huh?
What's your social security number? Mm. I have to get back to you on that.
But I wonder what it's like to spend Christmas in Vegas. Do you think it's fun?
Well, Las Vegas is really interesting because I think it's changed a lot. And if I were to spend Christmas in Las Vegas, I would like to spend it in its golden age in the late 60s, early 70s.
Well, you got to get a time traveling machine for that.
Or we can watch documentaries about it or listen to some music. And so this next one here is, her name is Faye McKay. And this is the 12 days, D-A-Z-E, of Christmas. So from the early 50s to the mid-70s, the hippest places in Las Vegas were not the hotels, but the casino lounges, where entertainers took over doing cabarets that lasted their shifts about 12 to 16 hours long.
They were actually performing for 12 to 16 hours.
Yes. And they considered that the city's living room. So when the big shows were over, the other entertainers went to these casino lounges and got entertained by people like Faye McKay. And so she was one of those entertainers whose jobs was just to keep them engaged as they came in and out of the club during these long 16-hour gigs that lasted forever. One of her signature numbers that she performed over the holidays was the 12 Days of Christmas, which then she later became famous for. And you've seen or heard, chances are, versions of the song performed everywhere. And this is the deconstruction of the 12 Days of Christmas before it takes place. And who doesn't love a crazy drunk lady talking about Christmas? So here is Faye McKay.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two cutty sharks and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three old crows, two cutty sharks and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four old Fitzgeralds, three old crows, two cutty sharks, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five dry robins. Four old Fitzgeralds, three old crows, two cutty and a partridge in a pear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six cubilibras, five dry robins, four old Fitzgeralds, three old crows, two caddies, and a tree, and a bird with a fruit on the limb. My true love gave to me seven Johnny Walkers, six Jubilees, five Robins, four old Fitzgeralds, three old crows, two caddies, and a tree, and a tree, and a tree in the meadow. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight seed of fashion, seven Johnny Walkers, six Jubilees, and a sherry with a fridge on top. On the ninth day of Christmas, I said, are you me? My eyes have seen a glory. Bloody Mary. Green stuff. Then the Mahalan, my
rigor mortis. Hey, see how fast sends them. Sister, hey, Rufus, oh, Rufus, oh, Rufus, seven, three, oh, crow, two, 3 pounds. And the high rage, I'm a bad rage.
Faye McKay, the 12 days, D-A-Z-E of Christmas.
That was incredible. I would have liked to have seen her perform that.
Well, you can actually watch it on YouTube. It's not as funny today.
Uh-huh.
Because I think she had a lot of energy in her voice. Okay. This is from the 1970s, this recording. Mm-hmm. But she still, to this day, actually performs it. I thought it was really interesting seeing Amy Armstrong perform this version of the same song, but updating it with cocktails that people actually recognize.
Yeah, because nobody really drinks a Rob Roy anymore. I remember
Old
once,
Crows, I remember, Cutty Sarks. Mm-hmm. I wrote these names down. Yeah. I want to draw attention to okay. Cutty Sarks, Old Crows, Old Fitzgeralds, Rob Roy's, and mm-hmm. Margaritas. Only one of those drinks I have actually had. The rest I have no idea.
I don't know what an Old Fitzgerald is, but a Rob Roy, I remember working in a bar once, and one of the cocktail waitresses got off of work, and she asked the bartender, hey, can you make me something to drink? He's like, well, what would you like? She's like, oh, just fix me something. I'm like, well, I could just fix you anything in the world. What do you want? And she's like, you just fix me a drink. So we made her a Rob Roy, which is whiskey with vermouth, dry vermouth. And she like had it. And she was like, this is disgusting. Like, it was actually a very popular drink in the 50s, you know, and 60s and even 70s. I you know, old people to this day still order it.
Well, I've actually had Manhattans, mm-hmm. which is...
That's sweet vermouth.
So this is the dry vermouth.
Yes, this is the dry vermouth.
And so it's whiskey, sweet vermouth, and a little bit of the cherry juice from the mm-hmm. pickled cherries.
Yeah,
cherries.
But it doesn't have the maraschino, not the Rob Roy.
Okay, yes. But okay. The Rob Roy is like nasty and scary.
But an Old Fitzgerald, good God, what is that?
I don't know.
I'm going to Wikipedia to the rescue.
Yeah.
Make your sound fits for Wikipedia.
Do, 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 do. Old Fitzgerald has. I could find it faster than you can, because I don't have to actually look at the screen while I type.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzgerald.
It's a brand of sour mash bourbon currently distilled in St. Louis, so it's a brand. It's not a type of.
Yeah, because she was also mentioning Cutty Sark, which yes. I think is a type of whiskey, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, it's a Scotch.
Scotch. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Scotch whiskey.
Old Fitzgerald. So when Amy Armstrong did it, she's like doing
Kettle One.
She was using like gay cocktails, like Sex on the Beach, mm-hmm. Buttery Nipples, and
yes.
Cosmopolitans, and mm-hmm. so she was just trying to update it. So it was really interesting seeing sort of like the two in contrast and. And there you go, the 12 days of Christmas.
Fausto, what date is the first day of Christmas?
I believe that the 12th day of Christmas actually happens on December 25th, or is it? I have no idea.
What's the first day of Christmas and what's the last
day
of Christmas?
I have no idea, and I don't really care. But
really? Well, it's very important in case you're ever on like Super Jeopardy or something.
Okay, what, tell the audience.
The first day of Christmas is December 25th.
The first day of Christmas.
The 12th day of Christmas is December January 6th.
Oh.
The Feast of the Epiphany.
Or people always think the Three Kings Day.
The people always think the 12 days of Christmas happened before Christmas, but no, it actually is. That's Christmas.
So
Christmas is a season, not just a day.
There you go. The 12 days of Christmas, mm-hmm. Which I think is one of the most annoying songs ever. But as a kid, I love singing this song. I don't know. You know what it is? Is that kids love songs that build on themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I guess she'll die.
Right.
I used to know an old lady who swallowed a horse. She's dead, of course.
Right, right, right.
But, and so these songs that kind of build on each other, kids really adore because it gets their memory center sort of stimulated. But
they're going to be very monotonous.
They're monotonous. And so, you know, and they're just, you know, they grate on your last gay nerve during the holiday season, where some of these songs are just repeating, repeating, repeating stuff. And so this gem I just stumbled upon, and this is the United States Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus Christmas Celebration. This is the 12 days after Christmas. And if you listen, the man who's singing has a very, very gay sounding voice. Now, remember or note that this album was released in 1998. years before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed.
Mm-hmm. Just years after it was implemented, really.
Yeah, really. So, so make of it what you wish. There's no liner notes. There's no documentation about this. But this is a remarkable little piece of gay history here. The 12 Days After Christmas with a gay-sounding voice.
The first day after Christmas, my true love and I had a fight. And so I chopped the pear tree down and burned it just for spite. Then with a single cartridge, I shot that blasted partridge. My true love gave to me. The second day after Christmas, I pulled on the old rubber gloves and very gently wrung the necks of both the turtle doves. My true love gave to me. The third day after Christmas, my mother caught the croup. I had to use the three French hens to make some chicken soup. The four calling birds were a big mistake, for their language was obscene. The five gold rings were completely fake, and they turned my fingers green. The sixth day after Christmas, those six laying geese wouldn't lay. I gave the whole darn gaggle to the ASPCA. On the seventh day, what a mess I found. All seven of the swimming swans had drowned. My true love gave to me. Before they could suspect, I bundled up the 8 maids a-milking, 9 pipers piping, 10 ladies dancing, 11 lords a-living, 12 drummers drumming. Well, actually, I kept one of the maids a-milking and sent them back collect. I wrote my true love, "We are through, love," and I said in so many words, "Furthermore, your Christmas gifts were for the
United States Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus, 12 Days After Christmas.
What was his last line before he started crying?
He was like, "I kept one of the maids and sent the rest back." I thought he was going to like kill everybody.
I thought he was going to keep one of those leaping lords.
Lords a leaping.
But no, he said something towards the end and I couldn't quite make it out.
Oh, just he's, you know, summarizing the all that crap that people get on the 12 Days of Christmas. You know, how did this even, is even possible that this happened? It's like, can you imagine like the discussion they were having? We need a gay sounding voice for this. So you can do it? Oh, I'd be delighted to. I'm from the United States Army Field Band. Yes.
Well, I can't imagine anybody gay being in a chorus.
This is a truly remarkable thing. I anybody who knows more about this, this was actually turned on to us by one of our listeners, Gaetano Parks. Thank you so much for turning us on to this unique gem.
What an interesting take on the whole thing, because it doesn't get that monotony like the other ones do.
You know, I still feel it's monotonous because you kind of know where this is all going, you know. Yeah. But I was kind of hanging, listening to this the first time around because I thought he really was going to pull out a machine gun and shoot everybody. Kind of like a Hamburger Hill kind of thing happening.
Well, he's also very gay, so maybe he would have just, you know, blown them down other ways.
I blow them all away, if you know what I'm saying. And I'd not talk about my machine gun. Mm. I did it with my lips. I'm in the United States Army Field Band, and I love singing with the soldiers' chorus.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to be discharged because I had a solo in last year's Christmas album, and that was released in 1998. Thanks a lot, President Clinton.
Well, we have a listener who listened to the who listens to the show, and he was in the Marines, and he was in the Marine Band. And I guess they found out, one of the people found out he was gay, and reported him, said something to like his commanding officer or somebody, yeah, in the chorus or in the marching band, said, "Well, you know he's gay." He's like, "Who cares? He plays whatever. He plays the trumpet. We need him."
If you can blow, you can stay.
Yeah. That's, I think it was the trumpet. It.
Wow. Well, it's been a fabulous year, people. We have made a lot of difficult choices and still are here to put out podcasts. We went from unlimited, free, and open for everybody to doing two podcasts. One still is a good old Feast of Fun. This is part of the unlimited free for everybody. Everyone can listen to this and share it with everybody. And then the premium podcast, Feast of Fun, which some of you happen to subscribe. And we thank you so much for subscribing to the premium podcast, because without your financial support, we could not do any of this.
Yeah, I want to remind the listeners too, if you'd like to upgrade your account, please visit feastoffun.com/plus and just fill in the little account. And every month you make a little donation and we bring you more shows.
That's feastoffun.com/plus. You can upgrade your Feast of Fun account to the gold or the diamond or the platinum, and yes, it'll be fantastic. This is endorsed by the United States Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus soloist from 1998. Wherever you are, you're a fantastic voice.
Well, and whether you're celebrating Christmas or the Flying Spaghetti Monster, Tet, New Year's, Hanukkah, whatever celebration it is, we want to say, hey, have some fun. And make sure you mark in your calendar, January 14th is Glitter Day. That's the second annual Glitter Day. So we're going to have lots of fun that day.
Glitter Day's coming. Blow your candles, kids. Every time you blow out a candle, a drag queen gets her wig.
I got to start getting decorating this house for Glitter Day.
Honey, you just go to Arts and Crafts Store, get a bucket of glitter, a bucket of fucking sequins, and throw that shit out everywhere. Make it sparkle. Make it shine.
But glitter's so hard to clean up.
Honey, every day. Didn't you listen to what Little Marcy said earlier? Was it Geraldine and Ricky? Every day should be Glitter Day. I mean, Christmas.
Okay.
Make every day Glitter Day, people. That's what Glitter Day is all about, is getting the fabulousness that lives inside each and one of your little hearts out there, and let it shine, people. Let that, the blessings of Glitter Day, just fill your heart and your life. Because that's what Glitter Day is. That's why Jesus died, so you could be fabulous.
Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
So, Mark, what do you want to say to the listeners? This is our last show of the year, and this is your time to reflect on what's happened in the year and to talk to the people about it.
Well, I wish everybody a happy holidays already. And hopefully maybe like this next year that we'll have lots of fun times together and interesting guests that will come on the show and dialogue. And we always love hearing from listeners. So make sure you email us at mail@feastoffun.com and tell us how, you know, how we can improve, what we can do better. We want to hear from you.
But we also want to hear from you when we do well, you know, when we earn our, as somebody said, is like, you sure earned your donation that with that interview.
That's
the most
for sure.
Hated guest of the year was at the very end.
I know.
Poor Jason Stewart, you know. I'm sure he's still reeling over the whole Martin Lawrence Search fiasco.
That he wouldn't shake Martin Lawrence's hand. I'm sure that replays in his head all the time.
And I'm sure, listen, we're just blessed and lucky that we've not had something that big happen to us that, you
that
know,
we could be bitter about for the rest of our lives.
Bitter about, yeah. I mean that's a hard thing to. And I was hoping, you know, if he's listening, and to anybody who's listening out there, I was hoping that the show could allow him to put it past him by saying, you know, it was, you know, in hindsight, of course it was so stupid to do that, you know, and but I didn't know better.
Oh, come on. It was funny.
You know, and he's still standing by his decision, you know.
I got to tell you, know what?
When the entire internet tells you made a mistake, sometimes it's a good idea to stop, pause and say, maybe I was wrong. What do you think about, you know?
Being a bad sport never comes off as funny. I mean, maybe it could be kind of funny to you and your friends, but it's being gracious always is just, it's always the better route. Always.
Well, and I think for a lot of entertainers and musicians, the internet is very threatening to them because they've worked hard all their lives to build these channels and form these business relationships to build careers, and now everything's kind of topsy-turvy. It's not always obvious, and that's why Hollywood and the entertainment industry is working so hard to pass SOPA on Christmas Eve.
So all the fat cats in Washington are going to be there trying to...
Republicans and some Democrats have been bought by the Hollywood's entertainment industry to pass the Stop Online Piracy Act, to pass this. They're not trying to do it during January or any time, you know, where the press, where people are paying attention. Do you know where they're trying to pass this? On Christmas Eve, December 24th.
Wow. Merry Christmas.
I know. So they're going to, instead of being with their friends and family, they're going to be in icy cold Washington, D.C., trying to pass legislation to make it illegal to link back to any type of link that may be questionable or challenge for copyright content.
Because they're going to shut down your website.
So all of YouTube, all the blogs, Facebook, pretty much every website, and the very nature of the internet itself, link sharing, is up for grabs if this passes. So if you're listening to the show and you appreciate the show and you appreciate the content that we put out there and introduce you to, write to your senators and say, I am not in support of a SOPA, SOP Online Piracy Act. I think it is bad for creativity. It is bad for our economy. It is bad for the internet. It's bad for America. And I want you as my representative to put a stop to Stop Online Piracy Act.
I just can't believe it. So Christmas Eve is a Saturday. So they're going to go in on a Saturday to vote for this thing. I don't believe it.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pass it underneath Americans' noses. So, you know, it's unbelievable. So I just wanted to take opportunity with our last voice for the year, just to draw attention to that. Cause I know certainly you're not going to see that on MSNBC. I'll tell you that.
You can eat sopas.
NPR.
No, it's sopes, isn't it?
Sopes are Mexican fried donuts. Yeah. Delicious fried donuts.
They're not donuts. They're sopes are,
they're donuts. They're yeast raisin fried donuts.
Sopes, I thought, were like tortillas, but very thick.
Oh, sopapillas, I'm thinking. Sopes, yes. Sopes are fried thick tortillas, yes.
Thick tortillas, yeah.
Sopapillas are fried Mexican donuts.
Oh, I thought it was donas.
And donas is just the Spanish equivalent of the word donut.
It's true.
Delicious donuts.
Pancake.
Bistec is beefsteak.
Yes.
Library is library.
Pancake.
Baseball is baseball. Pancake is pancakes. So what are you looking forward to doing over the holidays, Mark? I mean,
I'm going to get to meet my friends from high school or grade school that I grew up with and hang out with my bestie friends back home and hang out with my family. And then, of course, New Year's is coming. We'll have a great parties to go to. Glitter Day will be here. And then before you know it, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday, February 2nd.
And so I'm currently trying to schedule guests for January. So it's not like we're ahead of the game when we come back. That's so wonderful. We have some fantastic people lined up.
Fabulous. Already. Great.
And then...
And we'll be back doing shows just before Glitter Day, which is going to be Saturday, January the 14th. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back shortly before you even know it.
Right. To remind you that you better celebrate.
But over the holidays, we are posting new videos on YouTube and posting some classic Feast of Fun podcasts you haven't heard before.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for that Coquitos video so you can learn how to make Puerto Rican eggnog.
That's right.
With Coco Lopez.
And
that should be a drag name, Coco Lopez.
Coco Lopez.
That should be, yeah.
Ooh, watch out, Coco Peru is going to break your kneecaps, honey.
Because Coco Lopez,
she's not a very nice person.
It's called coconut cream, so it's sweetened coconut
cream.
Cream.
Yeah. It's a very good drag queen name. Mm-hmm. Coco Lopez.
Coco Lopez. I'm no relation to Coco Peru.
But it's kind of like if you name yourself like Coca-Cola. It's kind of brand name-ish. And,
oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, so you're kind of like... Mm.
I was going to become a plus-size drag queen, Madame Calorie. How does that sound?
That's a self-fulfilling prophecy you do not want.
Madam, any of you plus size girls out there?
Girl, over the holidays, I was on the phone with my mom today, and she's like, "You're focusing too much on your body and not enough on your intellect." And I'm like, "Lady, all I do 7 days a week is work on blogs and podcasts. It's all about the intellect and the ideas. It's like, let me balance things out with a little bit of my body, you know?"
Mm.
So
she's from a different generation.
She is from a different generation, one that didn't take their fitness too seriously. And I'm going to be working at the gym and eating right and visiting with friends from college and having a great time in Texas.
Eating cookies and
you know, my big thing is pizza. And in Chicago, we really don't have very good pizza. We have
don't say that.
I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of the Chicago style pizza. It's like it's a bucket of cheese.
Man, I just can't eat it. It's like, yeah, it's cheese and meat. And it's like you eat that. You don't take a dump for days. You were just like blocked
and
up.
I like the brick oven yeast crust slow rising thin crispy pizza artisanal pizzas and so there's a wonderful pizza place that my sister takes me there and so I'm looking to stuffing my face that day.
Awesome.
So that's gonna be awesome in Austin, Texas. So and that is it. And I hope that you find whoever you are out there that we've managed to keep you company and friendship. We do think of you guys as close friends, even though we've never had the pleasure of meeting face to face. We definitely think that we all share a lot of the same things in common.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the funny, interesting, strange, quirky things that we cover in the show and the way of looking at the world that we try to capture here on Feast of Fun.
We all kind of have the same sensibility.
Yeah, we're egalitarians. Mm-hmm. We are about bringing everybody to the table about diversity and about getting the little guy's voice being heard loud and clear and not just, you know, kissing corporate ass.
That's right.
And so we think of you as not just friends, as family, and we want to send you lots of hugs and kisses from me, and I'm certainly speaking for Mark here too, that we absolutely adore you, and we thank you so much for listening.
Couldn't do what we do without you.
Yeah. If it wasn't for your financial support, we'd be goners.
We'd be adios.
I'd be working at a much better paying job someplace else somewhere.
Probably in drag.
In drag. Going, maybe. Girl, can I get you some shots? You want some shots, girl? Mark, would
it's
you be a
dollar.
Shots girl?
It's going to
be a dollar, girl. Hey.
I'd be a beer tub girl at one of those downtown bars.
They'd be like, hey, you want a beer?
You want a beer?
Come on, get a beer.
And they'd be touching my Adam's apple trying to figure out what's going on.
Are you a man or a woman?
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Okay, mm-hmm. So this song is our last song of the year, Mark. Do you want to kick it off?
It is by Candy Kane. Now, Candy Kane is kind of a bluesy artist, and I guess, you know, some people have, like, talked about her to us before, and they said, you got to get her on the show. I'd love to sometime if she's ever, like, coming through Chicago, come on the show. And she does kind of like a bluesy burlesque, and I guess she used to have a little short-lived career as a porn star.
Holy shit.
I know. So she
and
did
so
some of that.
C-A-N-D-Y-E, Kane, C-A-Y-N-E. So it's kind of she puts lots of Y's in Candy Kane and E's.
To make it sweeter.
So this is our song. What is the title of this song here?
It is called Put the X Back in Xmas.
So let's put the X back in Xmas. And it's available on our website. And we urge you guys to buy this music and support independent musicians. And a lot of this music actually is out of print. So
So some of the links are probably, I'm just going to link to whatever I can link to.
To YouTube, but definitely the Kinsey Six. Their Christmas album makes a great holiday present. Jackie Beat's Christmas album. Candace Kane's Christmas album is fantastic. Bob Rivers' Christmas album. And these are people who, you know, they sweat it out just like we do. They put their heart and soul into this stuff. And so when you buy something through our links, you're supporting us and you're supporting them and you're making independent music and artists shine. So, and that is all we have for you guys. So thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. Happy holidays.
Mwah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now is the time for forgiving. And the anew. It's our time to try out some I've always wanted to do.
So slip on your red lace nightie and pull your green stockings on. I'll tie you up with silver tinsel as we sing some holiday songs.
The video camera's loaded, pointed and ready to go.
Oh my.
So let's put the eggs back in Christmas, darling, under the mistletoe. See just how good we can feel.
Greased in my Santa outfit, in the soft glow of Christmas tree light, I'm ready to unwrap my present, and it just might take me all night.
The video camera's loaded, put the eggs back in Christmas, darling, under the mistletoe.
Dick?